I'd like to teach the world to bring experience to bear on challenges that we all face and problems we all share. I'd like to give the world a hug and shower it with love. We all can change the world we're in with lessons from above.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this Monday edition of Hugs Talk. I am Antika, your host, and it is wonderful to be here. So, over the last 9 weeks, we have been walking through Divine in Nine, a sneak peek into Divine in Nine, my signature course there at fithappychristians.com and at antikalibby.com. And I've just been giving you a sneak peek on how you can step into the best of yourself. And today we're going to round it all out with an amazing guest that was literally dropped into my lap. And just with a wealth of knowledge on how your emotional state, how your childhood, how your traumas, how your struggles can really manifest and scientifically manifest into ailments in your physical body and your physical walk, and how you can take these adverse childhood experiences and mix in your faith and your trust and your healing and understand them in a more complete way and step into the next part of your life, really more embodying the divinely you part of you. So I am so excited to end this off. And then I want to remind you too that after today's interview, we're going to have one more time, just me, just you, and then our hugs experience begins. And this is when you calling in, you saying, yay, I'm here. I have questions about your mindset, how to overcome depression, anxieties, things like that, places that you're stuck, or where you just want to enhance your life more. We are here to answer your questions, give you some advice, some thinking points, some way to think more positively in your life, and just really support you in being the best thoughts, having the best thoughts, and living your best life. Also, we're here to help you with your fitness goals the second week. So all your fitness goals for your body, how do you live healthy? What's the best way to eat? How to eat right for your body? You can bring your questions, your comments, and we can just go through them together. Sometimes two eyes are better than one. And I want you to call in with your questions, start thinking about those things. And also, we're going to have the third week of each month, we're going to be focusing on your faith, your relationship, your personal relationship with God the Father, and how that interacts, how that plays out into your body, into your mind, and how you can really live as a child of the living, breathing Father God. So yay, we're going to be here to share with you how we do these things in our own lives and more. So let me give you the number. You can call in today too and talk to me, myself, Antika, and our guest, Dale Fletcher. And you know, you can also call in next week, but I want you to have this number, write it down, and let it be on the top of your big list of, oh, I have this. So you know what? Monday nights, you can give us a call and we can get to the bottom and create more health, beauty, and divinity in your life with you, because that's our goal here at Hugs. So that number is 303-800-4557. It's 303-800-4557. All right. So you're more than free to call in today and ask us questions. I'm so excited to share this information with you because I was looking for somebody to join the team, and I came across, I was led by my friend Stacy to Dale, and we started talking last week, and he is just has a wealth of information about how our childhood experiences affect our bodies and our makeup now. And he's been researching this along with tying it into your walk, your faith in Christ and biblical truths, which I just think is such, so beautiful. So Dale Fletcher is our guest today, as I've said, and he is the president and executive director of Faith and Health Connection Ministry. And so his heart is for helping people live a really healthy and abundant life. You know, so that's how we're here at Hugs too. So it's just perfect that he's here. He enjoys applying his formal wellness education and insights from personal life experiences in his role as a minister leader, a faith and health consultant, speaker. He leads retreats and health workshops and does trainings. And Dale's passion is for teaching and coaching others on how to integrate this mind, body, and spirit approach to living really their most healthy life from a biblical perspective. So, I mean, this is like a rock, a foundation, and he has just a wealth of information for you, and he has his own courses and everything, and I've heard wonderful things about it. He is located in Charlotte, North Carolina, and, you know, all up and down the East Coast there. He has places to work at, and he loves to be outdoors and running and being in shape and managing stress and all those great things. I mean, we all have to learn how to do. And he has taken this time out on his busy schedule to come and hang out with us today. So, Dale, thank you so much, and welcome to Hugs.
Thanks, Antika. It's great to be with you guys tonight.
You are so welcome. So we started talking, and you told me about ACE, and I had heard of the ACE study, but it didn't really connect with me at the time for some reason or another. And this time when I went back to the website and looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the explanation to so many of my personal clients, and I know my listeners. Big question of why. And you've been studying this for such a long time. I know we're going to talk more about the ACE study and some other studies around it and what I'm talking about, but how our childhood experiences affect our health and well-being later in life. And that's really what you start off in this mind, body, spirit approach at Faith and Health Connection Ministry. And so will you tell us a little bit, just to kick it off, on why and how you started Faith and Health Connection Ministry, so I can get to know you a little bit better?
Sure, that's a great place to start. Well, Antika, my background professionally and educationally was in wellness and fitness. I received an undergraduate degree from the Military Academy at West Point, but that degree was in engineering, so that certainly doesn't have anything to do with wellness and fitness. But while I was in the Army, where I spent 20 years as an Army officer, I became assigned to the Army Fitness School in the early 80s, and I was able to get my advanced degree in adult wellness because I had an appreciation even that time that, you know, being well and spirit, mind, and body was where it was at, not just physical fitness, but mind, body, spirit, health. After I retired then from the Army in the early 1990s, I was fortunate to be able to get a job as a wellness coordinator and a health educator with a large healthcare system in Pennsylvania, and spent about 7 or 8 years in that capacity. And it was about that time that I began to read about the research about this link between religion, spirituality, faith, and health. And coincidentally, my personal faith was really exploding at that time. So it seemed, as I began to read the Bible, develop my personal relationship with God through Jesus, I could really see the connection between the truth of the Christian faith and one's physical, emotional, and mental health. And I began to also realize that there weren't too many people in the Christian faith community that were teaching others about this connection between our faith and our health, and how practices and beliefs and attitudes of our faith are directly related to health, and the research was bearing this out. So in 2005, I had been working as a wellness director at the YMCA in Charlotte. I had relocated to take that job, and I just sensed God calling me to go deeper into this arena, study it more, and share this information with others. So that led me to launch the Faith and Health Connection Ministry and slowly begin to write blog posts and articles and pages on the website so that this information could begin to be shared with others. So that's how the ministry got started.
That's so awesome. I'm a little younger, but that whole connection has been the basis of my practice and my own walk too. And it's so important because it ties all together. And the more that we know that and accept that, the less daunting I feel like it is for us to understand why we go through some stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like, why have I been sick? Why can't I shake this feeling? You know, it answers so many of those whys. So I'm really excited to bring that forth. And when you work them all together, I find that healing starts a lot faster. Have you noticed that with your clients?
Absolutely. When we address the deep things and the spiritual things, because we are so integrally connected, our mind, body, spirit, soul, emotions, you can't attend to one without affecting the other. So it's important to look at the whole picture.
Definitely. So in the last few years, you said that you've learned about some interesting research studies around obesity and trauma. And just, you know, as I've been sharing on Hugs as of the last couple of weeks, I found out for myself that about 2 years ago, I had a trigger happen to me, and we were moving homes. And, you know, for all intent and purposes, it didn't feel like a huge deal, like we got through it. But I started gaining weight. And no matter what juice fast I did, no matter what I did, how diets, you know, fitness programs, like serious ones, like no matter what I did, I couldn't stop my body. And just this last January, I got some blood tests done and everything after trying pretty much everything and being patient and praying about it for 2 years, I felt God led me to a wonderful doctor who did some blood tests and told me, oh yeah, you're stuck in fight or flight. You know, your thyroid is good now. Your adrenals are good, because I did have thyroid and adrenal issues earlier in my life. She's like, no, you're good. You're just adapting. Your body is stuck in this adapting survival protection mode. And I was just packing on weight. And since then, events have happened, and I feel that release, that let go, that so much has shifted spiritually and physically and emotionally to stop the fighting, to stop the sticking. And I have faith that I'll be able to release this weight. It won't be that big of a deal. So I know I've experienced myself now that this, you know, the obesity trend and the trauma, and it definitely did relate to something back. I was triggered, but it went back all the way to an event in my life that really transformed my life when I was 11. And it's just how it interplays is just incredible. So will you tell us a little bit about the research and the studies and what you've learned about how the body and obesity and trauma kind of fit together on this very physical level. Mm. We think about the emotional stuff, you know, but not, oh, it's going to make me sick or obese.
Right. Well, about 3 years ago, I guess it was, I was asked to and had the great fortune to present a very short talk at the Southern Obesity Summit. And I learned that it was being conducted in Charlotte that year. And living in Charlotte, I thought, this is a no-brainer. Maybe I can attend and make a contribution. So the leadership team agreed that it would be helpful for me to address this issue from a spiritual perspective, or the care of the spirit perspective. And so I began to do a little bit more research. I had already had a hunch in working with clients and doing the teaching that I had done at the hospital system. I knew that there was this correlation between trauma and different health conditions and health behaviors, but I hadn't had a lot of the data to support that. So searching through the internet, I came across some great examples of the research that had been done in this area, specifically linking obesity and early childhood trauma. And what I found was that there was a group of individuals based out of California and the healthcare system of Kaiser Permanente, their preventive medicine group, under the leadership of Dr. Vincent Folletti, had been conducting some programs to try to help the population in their health group that was affected by obesity and struggling with their weight condition. And one particular PDF document really spelled out how they were conducting their programs, and it was a supplemental. The program had two phases to it. One was a phase that, or an aspect of the program was that they were given supplements, nutritional supplements, but a very low-calorie nutritional supplement to address the condition, and and also some therapy to address their conditions. And what they were finding was that their results weren't as well as they expected them to be in terms of weight loss. And so that caused them to dig even deeper and to ask questions that previously weren't asked. And what they found, Antika, was that up to 50% of the morbidly obese people that they were treating had a history of childhood sexual abuse, contact sexual abuse. And that really opened up their eyes into this issue and caused them to really modify how they were treating the condition of these people that struggled for most of their life with obesity. So that's what I initially found.
Wow. That's a huge link. I mean, 50%. That's a really huge link. And did they say by any chance what they thought that was? Was it like an emotional tie? I'm going to cover myself up. I mean, I hear that a lot in my practice. I just want to, I'm scared that if they see me, they'll want me again, you know, so they cover themselves up with weight to detract that attention. Or are there other reasons beyond that? I guess I just named one reason that I'm assuming is probably in the study.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I mentioned the figure 50%, and what I wanted to also say that in one of the bariatric physicians' clinic where they treated obesity with bariatric surgery, in one physician's clinic, she was finding that 75% of her morbidly obese patients had suffered sexual abuse. So, yeah, let me read you a quote by Dr. Folletti. He says, "So what's the connection between sexual abuse and developing an eating disorder?" He says the answer is guilt, shame, anesthesia, self-punishment, soothing, comfort, protection, and rage. So, I mean, those adjectives really address a full spectrum of the impact that sexual abuse can have on an individual, and the emotions and the feelings and the behaviors that come from that.
So they're all, those are like the emotional side effects. So I know that we're going to get into it, but just to talk a little bit about the emotional side effects, how does that emotional side effects, from your understanding, the guilt and the shame and all that, how does that reflect into the body? The emotions in the body.
Yeah. Well, the science shows that it's a combination, but probably between the emotions and the thinking patterns or the mindset of individuals. And so if an individual believes that they're are not worthy, or maybe that they caused this abuse to occur, they're going to have those thoughts. And those thoughts then lead to the emotions of feeling unworthy, the strong emotional aspect of that would then cause them to have certain behaviors that would lead to weight gain. And so if the person is feeling shame or guilt and or just really emotionally have the memories of that trauma, and one way that a person can try to assuage that and dampen that, or even hide from those feelings so that they're not in touch with those feelings, would be to medicate by the use of food. And over a long period of time, if that becomes habitual, then the person will begin to put on weight because of the behavior of emotional eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And And then I just want to say, just because I just experienced it, like, because I wasn't overeating. I kind of quit eating for a while. I just wasn't hungry, but I was gaining weight nonetheless. And I wasn't not hungry. I wasn't trying to be anorexic or anything. I would like forget lunch, which wasn't in my norm before that. But my body, literally the cells in my body shifted, and my, like, she showed me how, like, my adipose cells were making and the estrogen wasn't working, and the, you know, my body was working for me, just packing on, making extra weight to protect me, to work for me, to protect me. And that was, you know, outside of the realm of a different behavior that I had taken on, even if I was, because I was living the right behavior. It's like January, I worked out, I ran and walked and swam 100 miles, and I gained 5 pounds. And that's when I was like, that's it. Like, I'm eating right, I'm doing everything right, here we go again. I'm going to do that. And it was cool to see how your endocrine system, the base of it, like, it can just put that on, and it's and that emotional tie. So our emotions and our bodies really all work together. And I know that the ACE study talks even more about how this will work. So, because I just read it, thanks to you. So tell me a little bit more about, tell us more about the ACE study and what that means and how it's, and it's ongoing too, it looked like.
Yeah. Well, again, this initial kind of revelation of these researchers first occurred with the obesity program that was started in 1982. That led them to realize that not only obesity, but there were many other health-related behaviors or conditions that were linked to not only the sexual abuse, but other abuses that occurred and traumas that occurred in studies. So that mm-hmm. caused them to really begin to look more into this issue, and that basically led to this ACE study, where they, I think since 1995, from the period 1995 to 1997, they interviewed more than 17,000 participants to take really detailed personal histories and family histories to see if they could find even more conclusive data that linked these traumas in childhood with health behaviors or unhealthy behaviors and health conditions. And that's exactly what they found. And if you
can, you give us an example of a few?
Sure. Well, let's first look at an example of some of the traumas that brought about such outcomes. And there are 9 specific traumas. I think it might be helpful for your listening audience just to be aware of these 9 adverse childhood experiences that were documented. And these were experiences that occurred in the household before the age of a person being 18. And so I'll just list these. Recurrent physical abuse would be 1. Recurrent emotional abuse, 2. Contact sexual abuse, 3. An alcohol and or a drug abuser in the household. 5, an incarcerated household member. 6, someone who is chronically depressed, mentally ill, institutionalized or suicidal in the household. 7, a mother who is treated violently. 8, one or no parents at the home. And lastly, emotional or physical neglect.
Wow.
So those are the traumas that they eventually recognized were linked directly to some of these health issues that I'll share with you. And they found that the incidence or the number of these traumas that I just mentioned, as the frequency or the number of these traumas increased, there were even more and more of these health outcomes associated with those traumas. So there was a very direct relationship between the number of traumas in childhood and these health conditions or health behaviors.
Wow. Excellent. So let's, do they link up like more people with, say, we'll just do single parents because that's a big one these days. That, you know, single parents, like they tend to develop this, this, and this, or do the traumas, do you understand my question?
Yep, I don't know if I think I do.
Verbalize it.
Yeah. You're saying, do certain traumas, are they, more related to health conditions and healthcare? I'm sure the answer is yes. I'm not that knowledgeable to speak to those. But before we forget, I can tell your listeners where to read about this on the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention website. These major findings and the answers to some of your questions, which I'm not familiar with, can be found there. And the website, the website is www.cdc, as is Centers for Disease Control, .gov/ACE, A-C-E. So that's pretty easy to remember. Mm-hmm. www.cdc.gov/8. There are many pages there that talk about the study and the major findings and some of the relationships that you just asked about.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so you can go there if you want any more information and go into more detail or kind of look into what's going on with you too. So why don't you just share a couple of those before we take our first break here. And just a couple of those traumas. We did the traumas. Now the effects.
Yeah, the health issues. let me look at these lists. Well, depression. Mm-hmm. Illicit drug use, heart disease, liver disease because of drinking, obesity, risk for intimate partner violence, suicide attempts, adolescence pregnancy, sexually transmitted diseases, and smoking. Those are some suicide attempts. Those are some of the prevalent health outcomes that are directly linked to these ACE occurrences.
Wow. Yeah. So a lot of those are behaviors too.
Yeah.
They're
behaviors.
Like, they turn into chronic behaviors that then turn into a physical effect like obesity or liver damage, stuff like that. Excellent. So we're going to take a break, and then when we get back, you really focus on the spiritual risk factors of chronic lifestyle-related health conditions that we run into being survivors, and how that all plays into it. And I cannot wait to spend the next half hour really talking about that. Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay, excellent. So we'll be right back.
Ladies, are you one of those millions of women still suffering from the pain and devastation of divorce? 21 of the world's top divorce recovery experts will be available free at the Better Than Ever After Divorce World Online Healing Summit. Sign up today and access your free ebook, Living Again After Divorce, by Dr. D. Adio Moses at betterthaneverafterdivorce.com. It is free and you deserve it.
She's got baggage, is what they'll say if you don't choose to put it down. And that's why the trauma transformer, Antika Libby, developed Divine in 9 to lead you to more confidence and beauty in 9 weeks or less. Isn't it about time you feel comfortable in your skin and great about who you are? Visit DivineIn9.com.
USC Radio Productions is a catalyst for humanity's shift from human nature to divine greatness through both the spoken word and our hosts sharing compelling and exciting topics to create a greater understanding of the subject and how it relates to our world today. Whether our hosts are speaking at conferences to worldwide audiences, organizing live global events, or presenting unique, life-changing, empowering knowledge, our mission has always remained at the forefront of our minds and in our hearts. to create opportunities for all to claim their empowerment, stand in unity, and to meet the greater parts of themselves and each other. This is our heart calling. You are our calling. At the most pivotal time in our human evolution, we are deeply inspired to continue to meet the needs of humanity and our planet as we birth into empowered greatness. It is our fervent hope and intention that our shows will serve as both a guiding light and trusted resource. Visit us at uscnetwork.ning.com. The time has arrived to claim your greatness and be the voice of your hearts.
Hugs Talk Daily is a coffee break for your soul. Join us in a hug each day for 15 minutes of inspiration and heart-centered, empowering meditation on blogtalkradio.com/Antika, like antique, but with an A. Our host, Antika Libby, has been helping women who have suffered from abuse feel beautiful and powerful in her private practice at antikalibby.com for years and years. Hugs Talk fills you with divine wisdom so you can make every day a day you can smile back on. Join her daily and refresh and empower your life, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, on blogtalkradio.com/Antika, A-N-T-I-Q-U-A.
Not quite sure what happened there. Oh, but welcome back. We are at the second half hour of Hugs. I am your host, Antika Libby, and it's great to be here. And today we are talking about how adverse childhood experiences really affect our health and our behaviors and our attitudes, our belief systems that can affect our entire life with my new friend, Del Fletcher. And he is the head of I'm going to give him your website, with Faith and Health Connection. He's the minister and head over there. And he is located in the East Coast in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he's just, you know, as you've heard in the first half hour, is just a wealth of information there and has a ton of services, some of which we're going to talk about today at faithandhealthconnection.org. So it's www.faithandhealthconnection.org. And he has taken some time out of his busy schedule to just come and help us understand how the body and mind correlate, to share with us about some of the studies that he has. And he mentioned two earlier, talking about ACE, which you can look up online, the ACE study. And there's even a little quiz there at some place there. I think you can probably Google it, that you can fill out for yourself and kind of see how your life is playing into these areas, where you might need some added support and some love, and then how you can move into a more divine expression of yourself. And that's really the goal of all of this, is to share with you that you're normal, that these things happen, that a childhood that was painful. So many of us go through it on different levels. I mean, it's kind of hard to get away from it for the most part, more common than it is uncommon. And, you know, with that, you can learn how to navigate and understand and accept and love yourself on a deeper level. And yes, this all affects us physically and emotionally, and those two tie together, except now Dale is going to share with us the main bulk of his study there at faithandhealthconnection.org, where he talks about the risk factors of chronic lifestyle-related health conditions, some of them triggered by childhood trauma, and how they play into our deep spiritual lives, and how the spiritual life plays into creating a better life for you physically and emotionally. So welcome back.
Thanks, Antika.
So let's just dive into it. So in your work, you've written and talked a lot about the spiritual risk factors for chronic lifestyle health-related conditions. So can you just speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, earlier in the show, basically what we were talking about is how one's, I would say it's a spiritual issue, because when a young child, or even today, an adult person, when their inner spirit, their deepest level at their heart, when that is bruised or wounded, I would call that a spiritual issue. And there's a wonderful Proverbs, really, that addresses this. Proverbs 17:22 in the Bible says, "A cheerful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit makes one sick." Mm. And so when our spirit has been wounded or broken, whether it be by a childhood experience or a trauma or even a present-day trauma in adult life, our body really resonates with that because our spirit and our emotions and mind and body are so intricately interconnected. What I like to say is that we have some very important deep spiritual needs. And if these needs aren't being met, or they, you know, adversely impacted upon in childhood, then we're going to probably play out by having some unhealthy behaviors and the consequential health conditions. And some of the deepest spiritual needs that we all have are to be loved, to be accepted, to feel worthy and of value, and to feel a sense of security and that kind of we're in control of life. And then another one would be a sense of purpose and meaning. Those are some of the deepest spiritual needs that we have. And our challenge in life is to get those deep spiritual needs, I think, with a spiritual solution as opposed to a solution that's not spiritual. And that's how we get into trouble. So associated with that, I've identified and I've begun to use the term spiritual risk factors. You know, there are certain medical risk factors for a variety of diseases. And we've been talking about obesity. We know that some of the risk factors are unhealthy eating, inactivity, a poor diet. Those two are especially risk factors. And in fact, obesity itself is a risk factor for many other diseases like diabetes and heart disease and the like, and stroke. Well, I think that we need to get down to the even deeper level at the foundational. What are even deeper needs than that? And I've mentioned them. And so from a risk factor perspective, one of the deepest spiritual risk factors that we have can be bitterness and unforgiveness. So if we are bitter or resentful or unforgiving, to me that's a spiritual condition that if not addressed then can lead to behaviors like drug abuse and overeating and other unhealthy lifestyle practices as we try to cope with the bitterness and the anger and resentment. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because we use all of those cover-ups, those Band-Aids, as I call them, as coping mechanisms rather than coping with the heartbreak that we've gone through that's created the bitterness or the resentment or the lack of forgiveness.
Right. And so let me list a couple of other spiritual issues, I think, or risk factors. The shame and guilt. You know, even though we might not have been responsible for an occurrence, let's say sexual abuse, we might, a young child and even an adult might carry into adulthood a sense of responsibility and that they caused that to happen or they were partially responsible. Of course, that's a lie, but the shame and guilt that could come along with that, again, can impact upon our health. A third risk factor would be fear and anxiety. And that can cause a whole host of health conditions and certainly health-related behaviors that are unhealthy in an attempt to cope with that fear and anxiety. And then the last spiritual risk factor that I think is very prevalent, let's call it low self-worth. Again, many cases, this spiritual risk factor can be founded upon or based upon something that occurred previously, maybe rejection and other things that have occurred earlier in life. But then if a low self-worth is continued to be kind of embraced, then we know that that can be unhealthy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Definitely.
And so these are all spiritual issues. And what I'd really be excited to talk about a little bit more then are the solutions, because for a spiritual condition or risk factor, there can't be these more practical band-aids, like you said. You can't tell a person who has been sexually abused, well, eat healthy, eat these kinds of foods, and go work out, and then you'll drop your weight. That's not going to work if there's a deeper spiritual condition that's really at the root of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it just comes back with a vengeance, and you gain weight. You gain your weight back anyway.
Exactly.
From living like that. It really has to be a lifestyle change. So,
right.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
Well,
let's give us some solutions.
Well, I think the first solution that is at the top of the list we need to recognize and acknowledge, especially here on your show, is that Jesus is the solution for many of these things that we're talking about. And yeah. One of my favorite scriptures, I think, that's very relevant to this discussion is Matthew 11, verse 28 through 29. Many of your listeners might be familiar with it. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." I mean, these traumatic occurrences that we talked about, these are heavy burdens that people carry into the rest of their life. And if they're not addressed in a spiritual way, they'll continue to be present. So Jesus says, "All who are weary and carry heavy burdens, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has to be part of the equation, because God formed us, and he knows how he built us in this intricately marvelous way. And he knows that we are in need of a relationship with him. And absence of that, some of these deep spiritual needs can't be adequately attended to. And so Jesus died on the cross so that we can come into a relationship with him. And through a growing, more intimate, deep relationship with him, some of these deep spiritual needs can be attended to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've seen them in so many different ways through clients, like just be met in different ways. Like one thing that I've learned, I tried to be a life coach for a minute, Anna, literally a minute. And it was just challenging because I was like, you know, there's no way that I can know what would be best or even help you figure out what you think would be best, because sometimes what we think is best for us isn't best for us. But when we turn that over and listen to that relationship within and ask God, sometimes it's like, wow. I mean, over and over again, I've seen it in clients' lives, in my own life. It's like, I never would have guessed that for myself, but that's so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the temptations, the yearnings, the sinful nature, whatever you want to call it, that comes with a lot of the addictions and the behavioral issues, I've seen countless times just literally be lifted.
Yep.
The craving is gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, each of these spiritual risk factors that we talked about very briefly, and I know this is just a kind of the tip of the iceberg here. Each of these spiritual risk factors, there is a spiritual solution, and God's word makes it really clear what the spiritual solution is. So just with one of them, and as an example, if a person would feel shame or guilt, of course, that comes from the evil one, strictly and directly from Satan. God's word says that there is no condemnation for those who love him and are in a relationship with him. So it's important that an individual be able to receive God's love, and even if a person did something wrong, not necessarily the kind of traumas that we were talked about, God forgives us, and he wants us to receive his forgiveness And he wants us to know the identity that we have when we are in relationship with Jesus. We are a new creation. And if we can embrace some of these truths that are directly in counter to the spiritual conditions that we've talked about, there's opportunities for healing that to occur.
Mm, absolutely. And so you mentioned here spiritual exercises and biblical principles. So can we get a little sneak peek onto what is a spiritual exercise when you say the word? Because I can come up with my own description, but I want to know your description.
You know,
and biblical principles when it comes to this lifestyle and health and relation thing that you've been led to.
Yeah. When I first began to really develop a personal relationship with Jesus, I was studying the New Living Translation of the Bible, the very first edition. And because my background was in fitness, this really jumped out at me when I read this verse. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. And Paul writes to this one of the persons that he was discipling, Timothy, and he says, "Spend your time and energy in training yourself for spiritual fitness." Verse 8, "Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward both in this life and the next." And then he says, "This is true when everyone should accept it." So I thought, wow. All the doctors, all the nurses, all the healthcare providers will tell you that physical exercise is one of the best things that you can do to prevent some health conditions, that and proper nutrition. But mm-hmm. God's word says that spiritual exercise is much more important. And so it caused me to think, what are these spiritual exercises that he's talking about?
That's exactly what I just thought. Well, what are these spiritual exercises?
And in most translation, that term now is godliness, but godliness is much more important. Well, that was about 10 or 12 years ago, and it caused me to think, well, what does the Bible have to say about what spiritual exercises are? That led me to identify 42 now. Initially, it was a group of 18 spiritual exercises, but then I felt I needed to be more complete into what are some foundational truths in the Bible, many of them that are directly, if not indirectly, related to a person's health-related behavior and their health status. And I've identified 42 biblical principles or spiritual exercises for a healthier life. And they're into several different groupings. One of the groupings is beliefs and attitudes. Another grouping is habits of the mind. And especially attentive to this area that we've been talking about tonight, a third grouping are habits of the heart. And then there's some other habits. And another way you can look at this, when I've been reading the Bible, Antika, I've been looking at it from yet a different but related perspective. God says that the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors as yourself. And so another way to break that down would be God says we should be in an intimate and right relationship with Him, a healthy relationship with ourselves, and in loving relationships with others. When I read the Bible now in the context of whole person health, I ask myself, as I look at these commandments and these principles, which of these principles line up to help me have an intimate and right relationship with God, especially? Which of these principles help me develop a healthy relationship with myself? And then which of these principles in the Bible support and directly contribute to having a loving and compassionate relationships with others? And so that's how I have been reading the Bible and kind of grouping, if you will, these 42 biblical principles that contribute to those three primary relationships.
Mm. Excellent. So I've heard a lot about Pathway to Wholeness, or I read a lot about it on your website and was kind of diving into that. And I think this is this the one that Stacy went through. She did a training with you. I don't know which one she did, though. But anyway, is these 42 principles, is that something that you teach within Pathway to Wholeness? And tell us a little bit about your program, if you can. We have about 5 minutes left here.
Sure. Pathway to Wholeness is a Bible study where God finally said, you need to be sharing this information with others. So I've put together a 10-week Bible study titled Pathway to Wholeness, the number 2. If you were to search that with a browser, Pathway, the number 2, Wholeness, you could read about it. It's an 11-week program. We look at the gospel pretty much from a whole person health perspective. And so, yes, these 42 biblical principles are addressed in this Pathway to Wholeness Bible study. Now, that Bible study, really currently the only way to offer that to a church or in a community group or a small group setting would be for a person to attend the training that Stacy, your friend, attended. And that's an online training where people can become trained and experience this Pathway to Wholeness Bible study in a program called the Faith and Health Ambassador Course.
Okay.
So if a person were to attend the Faith and Health Ambassador Course, which is an online teleseminar taught by me live about 5 times a year, then they could experience the Pathway to Wholeness Bible study as part of that and become resourced to be able to lead that Bible study in their local church.
Ooh, cool. And so how would, like, when is your next one starting? Tell us a little bit. Do you have one planned? Is one
in
the works?
I have 2 more this year. May the 8th is the next Faith and Health online ambassador course. May the 8th through July the 17th. That's Thursday evening, 7 to 9 East Coast time. And then we're going to do one more in the fall time, September the 3rd through November the 12th. It's going to be on Wednesdays during the day from 1 to 3 p.m.
Okay. So, fantastic. And then can we learn all about that at your website, faithandhealthconnection.org?
Yes, on that website, if you were to go off to the right-hand side, there's a small little set of buttons called Learn and Grow, and those initiatives are addressed there.
Oh, fantastic. So, Dale, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. This has been just full of insights. We have a lot of places to turn, and people can get a hold of you and comment and stuff at faithandhealthconnection.org.
Mm-hmm. There's a blog there.
Okay.
There's on Facebook too. If people are on Facebook, Faith and Health Connection is very active there as well.
Okay, excellent. So you can reach out to Dale there. You can learn more about his Pathway to Wholeness and look that up on the web. You can learn more about ACE, A-C-E. So that is, give us that website one more time, www.centersfordisease.org.
Yeah, and actually,
so CDC.
CDC.gov/ACE. Also, if they go to my website, today I made a blog post relative to this topic, and they can find the link there at the most current blog post.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So, yeah, thank you so much. It is wonderful to have you on the show and learn so much and be around a kindred spirit. Yay! For me, it's super special. I love it. And I hope that you all join us again sometime.
I'd love to do that. Thank you. God bless you, Antika.
God bless you too, Dale. Thank you. So everybody, next week we'll have our last Just Me show. I might have somebody on if God leads in my way. But I'd love you to call in. That number again is 303-800-4557. And, I'm really excited. I don't know what God's going to do for all of us to answer our questions, to build this community, to get more interaction. I just know that this is where I've been led, and we have some great experts that are going to be with us every week. So you'll know who they are. You'll kind of know how you jive with them. They all do their own amazing work. And together, we're just going to continuously share this hug all around the world. We have people in the East Coast. We have people in Australia. These are just our experts and people on the West Coast, me up here in Alaska. I mean, we're really spreading our arms out wide, and we're here to embrace you in this big old hug for your divine health and wellness, and to transcend your past and let God just let God, because that's really the key here. He'll continuously show you just how wonderfully and divinely you are made in Him. And I trust and believe that wholeheartedly. So God bless you. I hope to hear you, see you, speak to you there on Blog Talk Radio /Antica tomorrow morning for our Hugs daily event, where I lead you through that heart-centered meditation of the Sacred Heart, letting you just joining together in prayer. So thank you so much. Have a beautiful, beautiful evening. Here is that last little commercial and our exit. God bless.
Hugs Talk Daily is a coffee break for your soul. Join us in a hug each day for 15 minutes of inspiration and heart-centered, empowering meditation on blogtalkradio.com/Antica, like antique, but with an A. Our host, Antica Libby, has been helping women who have suffered from abuse feel beautiful and powerful in her private practice at AnticaLibby.com for years and years. Hugs Talk fills you with divine wisdom so you can make every day a day you can smile back on. Join her daily and refresh and empower your life, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, on blogtalkradio.com/Antica, A-N-T-I-Q-U.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum. I'd like to give the world a hug and shower it with love. We all can change the world we're in with lessons from above. Ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-dum, 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 bum, bum.